week we heard the story of Jesus' baptism. We're beginning the church year anew, and we heard the beginning of his public life and ministry. And now all four Gospels agree that Jesus began by being baptized. But the other three all have, they send Jesus off into the wilderness to be tempted and then have him return preaching and teaching in public. John does not. It is worth noting that John tells a very different story when he says that Jesus, as his first public act, transformed more than 100 gallons of water into fine wine for a wedding feast. John is also unique in having Jesus' mother play such an active role in starting his ministry. Now, if you fell into the common trap of seeing gentle Mary, meek and mild, with a baby on her lap and nothing else, this story will give you a useful counter image to hold in your mind. She is the prophet who kicks off Jesus' public ministry, pushes him to center stage, and tells people to listen to him. She gets him his first audience, as it were. Mary saw a world in need, and she was unable to sit still with that. Come here, Jesus. They have no wine. She was unable to sit by and watch the party get ruined that day as the hosts ran out. But I'd bet, too, that there was another day when she was unable to sit still watching the people go hungry, and she said, much the same, come here, Jesus. They have no food. Mary is the one who forced him to act. He was reluctant. He wasn't ready to be on stage yet, but she would not sit there and let it go by. Come here, Jesus. Come and see. We have no wine. And so if she had lived in another time and across the seas, I feel like she would have been there on stage, not at a wedding this time, but at a rally or a march. And she would have been standing there at the microphone and calling up another young speaker. Come here, Martin. They have no hope. And the good Dr. King might have replied with Jesus' own reluctance, what's that to me? We know that he suffered self-doubts and insecurities as much as anyone, and Jesus has to be included in those insecurities. But Mary would have simply stood there and waited for him to obey her orders. You notice in the scripture story that all Mary has to do is say something. And even though her beloved son disagrees with her and holds back, eventually Jesus obeys her prophetic nudge and gets into action. And so if Mary had lived in yet another time, I wonder where she would be today. And I can't help but think that she would be at the southern border right now saying, come here, people, come and see. They have no home. And she'd stay there calling out to us until we listened. Today, we try to remember to listen to the voices of the prophets. Not only those who cried out so long ago, but those who raise their voices today on behalf of the poor and the oppressed, the hungry, and, I will argue, even raising their voices on behalf of those whose only problem is that they've run out of wine for their celebration. No, prophets are people who see things, who pay attention, and then call others to action. Now, in another way, Dr. King himself was not just like Jesus, but he was also like Mary in her prophetic role. He was like Mary in that he had an eye on the needs of the world. His eyes were open. In Dr. King's day, much as today, too many of people had their ears plugged and their eyes covered. They refused to look at the injustice around them. Like Jesus, too many of us said then and still say today, what's that to you and me? Our hour has not yet come. And to us, Dr. King roared in all the power of an angry mother's voice, come here, people! Come and see, we have no justice. We need these prophets, of course, because we still live in a world of deep need. Many of us, unfortunately, are still less like Mary and more like the wedding guests who did not notice when the wine was out, or if they noticed, they were like Jesus, who said, what's that to you and me? Jesus is not the hero here. Many of us do not take the time or the attention to notice that all around us, the wine is running out. Our world is in need. Our food is running out too. We've heard on the news about how federal workers are turning to food banks. We've heard the warning that SNAP recipients may not have their food stamps next month unless the shutdown ends. And those who are already at desperation's door looking for help from homeless shelters or other programs run directly or indirectly by government grants are finding that door closed in their faces. Come here, people. They have nowhere to turn. We need the prophets like Mary and like Dr. King to get our attention. Prophets can be anyone. There may even be some here in the room today or upstairs in godly play. We need prophets really badly right now because the needs of our world are deep and wide. But in the Gospel of John, though, once Jesus stops pouting, he becomes not just a prophet, he becomes something more. Now, it's the work of a prophet to point out what is missing so that it can be made back up. A prophet will find and identify our lack so that we might remedy that lack with personal amends or legal amendments or reparations or more. But Jesus does not just point out and make up what is missing. He provides wine when wine is missing, yes, but he provides much more than that. He provides more than they need, more than they even imagined, and the finest wine at that, too. We live in a world of deep needs, and sometimes it's all we can do to imagine something as daring as equality and justice. We are not there yet, and yet we imagine it. But Jesus points us even higher. I think that many of us, certainly myself included, have gotten used to a certain level of suffering. We get cynical about it, and we say, it's to be expected. Injustice is going to happen. We'll just have to keep our fighting hats on our whole lives long, and perhaps we do. The way the world works right now, for some of us, it's an ambitious thing to imagine that someday we could be okay. Amidst the fights we have to fight to get affordable housing, to get health care, to get a living wage, and not to mention to find love and companionship, in this hard world, imagining ourselves just being a solid okay can be a task. But this story asks us to imagine being more than fine, more than just getting by. More than okay. All the Gospels agree that Jesus brought bread to hungry people. But John goes farther right away and says that not only did he feed our hunger, but he gave us fine wine, that ancient and traditional metaphor for abundance. We're on tricky territory here now because not all of us drink wine and not all of us enjoy it, even if we do. One could as well have said milk and honey. It doesn't matter much what food you choose, what metaphor, whether you drink alcohol or not, or you're lactose intolerant, or you're vegan, or maybe you have medical complications and a restricted diet and you can't enjoy any of the above. But no matter what you eat or drink, there's no mistaking what these metaphors mean. The wine, the milk, the honey, they mean food that are more abundant than your typical ancient Near Eastern peasant diet. It means dessert, if you will. It means a latte, those things that are extra, but wonderful. It means, well, it means vitamin P, which is a real thing because my nutritionist said this to me with a straight face, and she had a nutritionist diploma on the wall behind her when she said this. Vitamin P, P for pleasure. Jesus comes to us not just as a grim and angry prophet who cries out for justice and for bread. He does that too, no mistake. But also he comes to us laughing and dancing, celebrating and enjoying the finest of wine. He comes that we might have life and have it abundantly, with pleasure and with joy. He comes that we might have something more than fine, more than just getting by, more than just okay. This has implications for us. For one, it means we might imagine doing more than just raising the minimum wage or just raising teachers' salary to a livable wage here in Oakland. In 1965, Dr. King wrote, "Thousands of jobs a week are disappearing in the wake of automation and other production efficiency techniques. Black and white, we will all be harmed unless something grand and imaginative is done." Well, 54 years later, we haven't done much to halt that. Not only is the same process continuing, it's found new ways to work around the question of how people earn their living. Not only are we looking into driverless cars, which will relieve many people of their jobs driving, but the drivers we do have are increasingly classified as contractors rather than employees. There are a lot of people just barely getting by. And Dr. King challenges us to do something grand and imaginative. Now, you may know that he was talking about a basic minimum income, a universal guarantee of having funds to spend whether you are working or not. And of course, for this audacity, he was considered an enemy of the state. So, even as we celebrate his legacy, many of us have gotten cynical, saying that King was too idealistic and that we'd be happy with more moderate gains, maybe if we just got to a level of justice where healthcare didn't bankrupt people, or maybe perhaps where the life and death of a black man, a black mother's son, was worth the same as the life and death of a white mother's son, if we had basic racial equality, and maybe even a living wage, we'd be so proud. But people, for a moment, can we dream of more? Can we imagine a world where we all have a little more than we need, where our cupboards and those of our friends and neighbors are not bare, but where they also have something delicious in them? Some vitamin P, a bottle of fine wine, something truly pleasureful. And this brings me back to the funny comment made by the chief steward in the story. He says, essentially, that most hosts serve the good wine first, and then when the guests are tipsy enough to not notice, out comes the cheap stuff. The idea is you get them started and then stuff the rest with some cheap filler. And I think a lot of us have gotten used to filling up with the cheap stuff. I don't mean just the empty calories we might get from cheap food, though that is sure a real story given the state of nutrition in our country today. No, I also mean the ways we numb ourselves out with cheap pleasures. Retail therapy, shopping for useless stuff, with media, or even inside the way we anesthetize ourselves from hoping for more. Sometimes we do this because we know we literally can't get more. But sometimes it's just ingrained, and it happens because we believe we don't deserve more. A friend of mine shared on social media this week about believing that since he was, quote, ugly, he didn't deserve to have a decent and mutual romantic relationship. It sounds so wrong when you say it out loud. But how many of us have been there, believing that at some level we don't deserve better? Well, I dream of living in a community where God's love is so real to each of us that nobody would have to believe that kind of lie. But we could know each person, body and soul, as an equally unique image of God, created not just for labor and suffering and barely getting by, but also created for the pleasure that is a free gift of God. I feel like that's got to be one of the aspects of the kingdom of heaven. Vitamin P for all, no matter what your body looks like, no matter what you can eat or not eat, no matter whether you enjoy dancing and singing or can do it or not, the feast, the celebration, needs to be laid out for all to enjoy. Now, I said the H word there, heaven, and so maybe I've triggered a little bell in some of your heads that goes, aha, that feast that we all enjoy, oh, that's the pie in the sky part, but I beg of you not to relegate it there. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is not far away, it is within you and among you. He came and brought us a taste of that heaven in his first act of ministry when he poured out abundant pleasure for us to taste at that wedding in Cana. And now it's our work to enjoy it, to share it, to create it for others, to give it away, and not to forget it. Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So may you taste that abundance today. Amen.